Father Austin Anthony Vetter was a very good man. He had a smile that would light up the room. He was a great mentor to me as my first parish assignment. He's not dead. He always would listen to me, take care of my problems. He was a true brother and a father to me from the time when I was a child to now. He always cared for what was important to me in my life, and it almost seemed like he didn't even care about anything else except to help other people. He was a good man, and he'll be missed forever. That's kind of a typical eulogy, right? But in reality, what I do is I go to my brother priest friends and say, oh man, Father Vetter won't stop talking about his day, never listens to me at all. All he does is yak, yak, yak. Won't even listen to me once. He doesn't even know I live with him, I don't think. Holy cow, all he does is care about himself. And he's got problems, let me tell you. Seems like a good priest on the other, he's got problems, let me tell you. And on and on and on. That's how the conversations really go, right? Unless he was dead. Then I would say, oh, he's such a good man, you know. What a saint. Can we canonize him right away? Oh, he's such a beautiful person. How I love him. Isn't it true? Even in the paper today, there was a drug deal that went wrong. Two guys are going to go stand trial for the death penalty. The other one who died, the quote about the drug dealer who died, oh, he was, you know, a saint. He lit up everyone's life. We have this thing, it's hard to exactly identify why, but if someone's dead, then, you know, we speak very highly of them. If someone's alive, then we notice the splinters in their eye, and we love talking about them. How often do we, in conversation, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. The real saying is, where two or three are gathered, there a fourth is talked about. That when we bring someone who's living into the conversation who's not present, we tend to analyze and expose the splinters in their eyes, right? And a lot of times, this is the little, you know, tagline at the end, but he's a good guy. You can't just say that and make everything else you just said okay. Oh, but he's a good guy. No. There's real danger with our tongues, our speech. Our gospel and our first reading talk about speech. Where does that speech come from? Jesus talks about it comes from the wickedness inside of us. Sirach says, don't judge someone until they've spoken. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. Who are we when we open our mouths? Are we, you know, someone who's building up the body of Christ and encouraging those around us? Or are we someone who's tearing those down who aren't even there to defend themselves? In the Epistle of St. James, if you want to get really intense, the Epistle of St. James talks about how the tongue is a mighty sword and can destroy. And if you say you believe in God but tear down your neighbor with your tongue, then you have no faith in you. You're basically going to hell. Read the Epistle of James. He said it, not me. That there's serious effects of our words. Our words have meaning, and our words do things. It's not just casual conversation. It's not just, oh, well, you know, we're just sitting around, you know, having a good time. And so often we turn. It's not being Pollyanna. Jesus doesn't ask us to be Pollyanna. Oh, she's great. Everything she does is great. I love every aspect about her. She's so nice. You don't have to be like that. And you can say things like, yeah, I don't agree with this decision my boss made. But how often do we go to the next level, right? I don't agree with this decision he made. And you know what? I hear he hits the bottle pretty hard every night, too. You know, we go towards that second level of not just disagreeing with something objectively, but then attacking them for who they are. And we tend to dehumanize people. I was at a basketball game recently, and I was, like, very angry at a referee. And, like, there's a tendency to dehumanize that person. If the boss who you disagree with, you tend to dehumanize them. You forget that you're a child of God, but that they're also a child of God, and that God loves them just as much as he loves you and cares for them. And what we want to do is tear them down. Sometimes it's because we don't feel very good about ourselves, but other times, just we're so mad that we don't want them to have the same dignity that we have. And we want everyone around us to know about it, too. That if someone else has a higher opinion of this person, well, I got to make sure they ratchet that down a few clicks because I know what they're really like, so I'm going to talk about it. And one excuse we use a lot is venting. Oh, I just needed to vent. You know, I just need to get this off my chest. Venting is not free open season, free range, just to go completely off on someone to someone who doesn't need to know about it. If you do need to vent, venting to God is a very good way to vent because he does know all things and he can help you with it. There's a legitimate way of talking about someone when they're not present. If you go to someone with a sincere heart and say, hey, this person did this thing to me and I need advice on that, and then that person kind of calmly, you know, helps you see the situation, helps you see where you're right, helps you also to see where you're wrong and overreacting and being oversensitive. That's a true conversation which can build up the kingdom of God. And then there are occasions where we do need to talk to someone to their face and say, hey, listen, just so you know, this was not appropriate and it was very hurtful to me. There's very important times where that's a real possibility. And there's times, like I said, when we need to get advice. But there's no time for when we need to tear someone down behind their back just because it makes us feel better in the short term. It's like dessert, you know, it makes you feel better in the short term, but afterwards you're kind of like, I don't feel very good about that. Another excuse that people use is blah, 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 blah. But it's true. Okay, it may be true. That's called detraction. Detraction is a sin. Where you inform someone of someone else's fault and they don't know about it and they have no need to know about it. So if you're an employer, you have a need to know what your potential employee's history is, right? Okay, good. If you're a random person, you don't need to know what that person's history of sin is. Just because it's true doesn't make it right. Calumny is the one where you spread lies about it. That's pretty far gone. Everyone knows that's wrong. But detraction is saying true things about people that don't need to be known. And that causes real harm. We all have the right to a good reputation, and to not have someone have a poisoned opinion of you because of something that you've done in the past. Maybe something that you're very contrite for and have brought to God and have been reconciled. The easiest kind of examination of conscience is the way I'm talking about someone right now. Would I like them to be talking about me like that when I'm not present? Usually the answer is no. That if we're saying things about someone else, would we like that to be said about us right now? Oh, but I'm perfect, Father. Okay, yes, right. Me too. That there is actual consequences for gossip and calumny and detraction. And what's borne out is we say we love God. The Epistle of St. John says, if we say we love God but we hate our neighbor, then we're not really Christians at all. We're not believers in God truly. And of course, heaven is spent with other people. If there's people in heaven that I really can't stand at all, then, well, do I want to be there forever? That's the test of, can I truly will this person? Do I want them? Can I say to God when I think about them, yes, God, I want this person who I am really having a hard time with right now, I want them to be in heaven with me forever happy with you, just like I want to be in heaven. I want them to be in heaven too. That's a way we can pray for them. And it's hard. It is very hard, especially if you're in a conversation and everyone's going down into the mud, right? It's very hard to get that conversation out. But that's why we don't have our own power to rely on. We have the grace of God. That's the whole point of why we're Christians, that we can love in difficult circumstances, that we can love our enemies in difficult circumstances, that we can take a stand, even if it means being persecuted, that we can be the stronger person in that. And you don't have to be weird. You don't have to be self-righteous. But just to kind of steer the conversation away, change the subject, maybe offer a good word for that person who's being on trial, that you can always, by God's grace, you can be the stronger person. That's the whole, if we couldn't do that, then there's no real point of being Christian. If we act the same way as everybody else does, well, then it's not, why am I baptized? Why do I, you know, go to confession? Why do I do all these things? So just ask the Lord to give you the strength to be a person of integrity. What would you say to them in front of their face should be the same things that you would say to them when they're not present. And often it just feels good in the short term, like I said. But in the long term, we know that we shouldn't be tearing these people down. And of course, another examination of conscience is to look in the mirror and say, yes, the beam in my eye is larger than the splinter in their eyes. Maybe not in the same way. It may be in different times or whatever. But none of us is perfect. And so we want to be treated the same way we want to treat others. And just to look at that person as another child of God, even when they're not present. Of course, Jesus not only gives us the strength, but he's the model. Think of how many times he was spoken poorly about behind his back, which led to his death. The path of gossip is death, and we don't want death. We want eternal life. So today, pray for our enemies. Whenever something comes into your mind, bring it to God. Bring it to God, who's a real person, who knows about it, whom you can vent to, whom you can talk about it. And so often, he shows us how to go through that in a productive, upbuilding, healthy, life-giving way. God is a real person, and he wants to hear from you about those things that you want to tell your other friends, you want to tell to God too, and probably first, because he's very helpful. So today, trust in God, see that he's a real person. Bring him all the things that are going on in your life, and he will help you show you a way calmly productive and life-giving.